I don't always use pictures when I preach. Today I had one on the day when the computer doesn't work. So I want you to picture in your head. It's from the Cat in the Hat. So for those of you who can bring up memories of Dr. Seuss and the Cat in the Hat, there's a picture of the Cat in the Hat, and he's holding various things teetered across. There's things balanced on his head. He's balancing on a ball. And these are the words that go with that picture from the Cat in the Hat. It's the Cat in the Hat speaking. Look at me, look at me, look at me now. It's fun to have fun, but you have to know how. I can hold up the cup and the milk and the cake. I can hold up these books and a fish on a rake. I can hold the toy ship and a little toy man. And look, with my tail, I can hold a red fan. I can fan with the fan as I hop on the ball. But that is not all. No, that is not all. That is what the cat said. Then he fell on his head. And I bring that up because I think that little piece of poetry from Dr. Seuss describes the lives of most of the people sitting in this room today. That we are, whether you want to call it juggling balls or balancing a whole bunch of various things, and at some point, as we continue to teeter and totter through life, holding up as many things as we can, eventually what happens? We crash and we fall on our heads. And so it's fitting that on this, the third day, that we're really looking at what creation has to teach us. One of the key things creation has to teach us is about Sabbath. And the last 2 weeks when we've read the creation story, we've stopped at the day six when God finished creating all things. But on the seventh day, what did God do? God rested. He worked on the 6 days and he rested. And that is the first institution of the Sabbath, which then is a command that gets repeated over and over and over again throughout Scripture. It's hundreds of times that God reminds the people of Israel, you need to keep the Sabbath holy. The Sabbath is a day set apart for me. Keep it holy. And always, over and over, he says the punishment for not keeping the Sabbath is death. And I've long thought that it's not because God is vengeful and he wants to smite you if you don't take a day of rest. It's just very practical. If we don't stop and rest as a regular part of our routine in life, it'll kill us. And some of you have experienced burnout. Some of you have experienced the depression or the different things that happen when we don't stop in our lives and take some time of rest. Mark Buchanan is one of my favorite authors, and he wrote these words. God made us from dust. We're never too far from our origins. The Apostle Paul says we're only clay pots, which is dust mixed with water passed through fire. Hard, yes, but brittle too. Knowing this, God gave us the Sabbath, not just as a day, but as an orientation, a way of seeing and knowing. Sabbath keeping is a form of mending. It's mortar in the joints. Keep Sabbath, or else break too easily and over soon. Keep it, otherwise our dustiness consumes us, becomes us, and we end up able to hold exactly nothing. The reason that Sabbath is tied to creation is because creation reminds us of the majesty and the sovereignty of God. God who just threw stars into the sky. God who spoke and things came out of nothing. There was heaven and there was earth. There was water. There was dry land. There were beasts of the field. There were fish in the oceans. And the culminating beauty of God's creation, God spoke and there were people created in his own image. There were men and women created as the culmination of all that God had made. God is sovereign. God is creator. And because of that, we can rest. The Sabbath is tied to creation. Why? Well, what is Sabbath? At its heart, Sabbath is nothing other than just rest. It's rest from work. It's rest from having to achieve. It's rest from having to accumulate more and more, from consuming more and more. It's rest from worry, from despair, from busyness. Sabbath is about resting. It's about stepping back and remembering that God is God, we aren't. It's about stepping back and remembering that everything that we have comes from God. That we don't have to try really hard and work really hard to make more and more and more and more, because we're not God, and God has our backs, and God has us held in the palm of his hand, our God who is sovereign. In the Old Testament, we're reminded also not just that Sabbath is connected to creation, but Sabbath is also connected to the Exodus, that event in Israel's history which made them a nation. They were slaves for hundreds of years in Egypt, and then God miraculously freed them from slavery. He pulled them out of Egypt, where they were required to work all the time, every day, where there were taskmasters with bull whips that used to whip them if they paused for even the moment's breath or a drink of cold water. There was nothing. And then God stepped in and God freed them from that kind of slavery. And every time that Israel would get all caught up in itself and forget about keeping the Sabbath, God would say, do you remember that was your life and I freed you from that? I called you out of that. I'm God. I can do that. I can give you freedom. You can rest in me. I made the whole heavens and the whole earth. You can rest in me. And we as Christians have another story. Our foundational story isn't so much the Exodus as it's the story that we celebrate once a month at communion. It's the story of the fact that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth may have life, that we could be freed from death, that we could be freed from sin, that we don't have to try really hard. We don't have to work really hard to be perfect and to earn God's favor. It's given to us. It's this extraordinary gift of God's Son who did it for us. We're reminded when we come to this place week after week that it's not about us, it's about God. And that God loved us so much, he gave us the gift of rest. And every time we stop, every time we just pause for a moment or two, we breathe deep in of God's life-giving spirit, and we're reminded that it's not about all the things that we do. It's not about all our achievements. Our life was given to us to be lived in abundance. God gave us our lives as this extraordinary gift. He gave us the world around us as this extraordinary gift to enjoy. And we don't enjoy it because we're so busy trying to do so many things. Sabbath is a different way of looking at time. There's two words in Old Greek to speak of time. And some of you may have heard this. Chronos is the typical kind of time. That's on your watch. For those of you who are looking to see if we're going to be done at noon, we won't. We're never done at noon. You're very caught up in Chronos time. You're very caught up in what time is it, what day of the week is it, how does the calendar work out, all of that kind of time. Chronos was a Greek god in ancient Greece, and he was pictured almost always as this ravenous kind of cannibalistic beast who would eat his own children. He could never be filled up. Well, how fitting is that? For those of us who were ruled by the clock, who were ruled by due dates and things that have to come due on certain times and at certain places, it's like it eats up our lives. But there's another way of looking at time. There's another word for time, and that word is kairos. And I want you to say that word out loud because I want you to remember this. Kairos. Can you say it? Kairos. Okay. Kairos time is the way that God intends our lives to be lived. Kairos isn't clock time or calendar time. Kairos time is like a season. In Ecclesiastes 3, there's a familiar song, and really it was the band years ago, the Birds, who made it really familiar. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a kairos time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. That's not the kind of time, okay, now it is 2 o'clock, it is time to plant, and it is 3 o'clock, it's time to reap, or whatever. That's not that kind of time. It's recognizing that life has seasons to it, that there are times for this and times for that throughout our life. There are times, in other words, to work, but there is also times to pause from our work, to step away from our work, to come to a place like this, to sing songs, to hear scripture, to look at extraordinary pieces of art, to just remember that God is sovereign, that God created the heavens and the earth, that God who provided for everything can surely provide for our most basic needs as well. That it's not up to us, it's up to God, and that we join him in what he does, and part of what we join him in is rest. Sabbath is intended to remind the people of Israel and to remind us who God is. Part of why we go to church as part of our Sabbath is because in a worship service, when we are immersed, when we're hearing the stories, we remember who God is. We sing hymns. I was thinking a lot this morning about the hymn Immortal Invisible. It's one that has a whole lot of words. Actually, I'm going to ask you to open it up. It's at number 25 in your gray hymnals. And can I get somebody either with a loud voice or with a microphone to stand up and just read through the first verse of that?
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hide from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise.
That song... One of the great things about that hymn is that every verse is just words and phrases to describe God. It's words and phrases to describe that our God is immortal, invisible. He's such a bright light that we can't see him. That's hid from our eyes, light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. It's just a song of words and phrases that do nothing more than lift God up so that we can gaze upon the majesty of our Creator. The sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that we can remember that we are God's creatures. See, we run the risk over and over again in our lives of repeating the same basic sin that Adam and Eve, that caused their destruction. What happened with Adam and Eve is they looked and they saw this tree, the one tree in the entire garden that God had said, you know what, stay away from that tree. And they looked, and of course, because they're human... They said, that's the tree we want to try. But what was the sin really about? The sin was really about, we don't need God, we can be gods. That's what Satan said to them. Hey, you know what? Eat that fruit and you will be just like God. Well, when we get caught up in our busyness, when we get so tied to having to achieve, to having to make everything work in our lives, when we get all worried and anxious about where things are going to go and how on earth we're going to find time to do all the things that we have to do, what we're really doing is we're saying, God's not big enough to be God, so I have to step in and I have to be God. And I have to take responsibility for all of it. But here's the sad truth. We are not God. Not one person in this room is capable of being God. And when we stop, when we rest, when we worship, when we come together with other people who know God, we are reminded of that fact, that we are not God. In Isaiah 30, there's this verse. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Again, notice how God is introduced. Not as, hey, here's this, you know, wimpy little deity over here. No, thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. In returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. See, our own strength is never good enough. Our own strength always eventually fails us. God's strength never does. God didn't rest on the seventh day because he was pooped because it had been a lot of work to create the world. I mean, I'm sure it was a lot of work to create the world, but our God doesn't get that tired like that. The image that I love that I came across as I was thinking about this was the image of when you're a parent and you have a little child and your child just can't sleep at night and can't settle down. Sometimes a parent will crawl into bed beside them and lie with them until they go to sleep. I think that's what God did on the seventh day, is that God said, I'm going to lie down with you and teach you how to rest and show you how to sleep so that you can get the rest you need, because I know how I made you and you're fragile and you can't hold it all together. You can't hold it all up in your hands. Trust me with it. There's no greater vulnerability than when we sleep, when we rest, when we have no control over anything. Sabbath reminds us of that. Sabbath is about rest and quietness and stillness. And so the question is, why don't we rest? The question is really, for each of us individually, why don't you rest? What is it that stands in your way of taking, and I'm not even talking taking a whole day every 7 days. That's what we need to be aiming for. But what stands in your way of taking one evening of rest? What stands in the way of you obeying this commandment of God who says, keep the Sabbath holy. Keep the Sabbath set apart for me. Keep the Sabbath as a day to remember that I am God so you don't have to be. My guess is most of us are just too busy. We're so caught up in all the things that we have to do. But then the question is, why do we pack our lives so full that there's no room for rest in it? What is it that we're trying to accomplish in the busyness and the chaos that we surround ourselves with? God said, be still and know that I am God. That's what Sabbath is. I want to read for you Psalm 46 as an introduction to a time of prayer this morning. So this is what we're going to do, is I'm going to read through these words of Psalm 46, and they end with those words from God, be still and know that I am God. And then we're just going to take like 2 minutes of quiet. And I know quiet is hard, but we're going to try and just be quiet, be still for 2 minutes. The worship leaders are going to remind us of those words, be still and know that I am God. And then we're going to continue in our quiet. And then Wendy's going to play just the music, a little bit of music, and then we'll enter into some spoken prayer time. So let me start by reading and take whatever posture you need to be in to be able to just be still for a few minutes. These are the words from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God.